Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. Dave Stoop and Mylon Yurkovich. And your phone calls at 1-800-229-3000. We think this just might be a great day for New Life.
Taking my call. I love listening to you guys.
I'm kind of in a valley as far as my faith. She has a tumor on her lung and she's in kidney failure. And my question is, how do I tell her that she's dying?
In the court systems, teenagers usually have a lot of ability to say where they want to spend their time.
Change is not what you say, change is what you do.
Do you ever disagree with him to his face?
Very rare.
Here's what I think cremation is. It is a dust acceleration program.
You're going to go forward. You're going to do the next right thing. You're going to sin no more. And he's going to have to sit with that.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here with Mylon Yurkovich and Dr. Dave Stoop. How you doing, Dave?
Good. How are you?
Good. Mylon?
I'm well.
You good?
Glad to be here.
Mylon?
Yes?
What project are you working on now? What book are you and Kay involved with right now?
Oh, my gosh. We're having the worst fight in the whole world trying to figure that out.
Really?
Because, first of all, it's like having a baby. You know, you have a baby and you ask a person the day after they have a baby, you know, when you have a next one, they go, I don't want to ever have a child ever again.
Right.
So it's a stressful thing for two people to write a book.
Yeah.
So we're talking about how we love God. Mm-hmm. We're talking about how we love sexually, and we just aren't quite sure, A, which one of those we want to do, and B, when we want to start again.
I would like to vote.
Would you really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, I think how we love God,
yes,
would help more people, but I think how we love sexually would help people more than any other book you could write. And I don't know if I said that right.
Well,
but,
I'm so totally confused.
Well, the people, if we had more married people reading that book, How We Love Sexually, we would be able to help them in a deeper, richer way. How We Love God is going to help a lot of people understand their relationship with God better.
Right.
But just knowing what you know about attachment styles and sexuality, I just know that would really be. So it'd be a tough decision to make.
It is a tough decision.
Dave and I are working on a project, too.
Are you really?
You know, we edited the Life Recovery Bible several years ago, over a decade ago.
20 years ago.
And now we're creating what you could call the big book for the Life Recovery Bible. Dave is doing a great job of his part. Steve has not started yet.
Oh, so, don't tell me that.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Dave. It used to be the other way around, though. Remember
in the old days?
Yeah.
I was always dragging my feet.
But I'm really struggling. But we're wanting your stories. Please email us to newlife.com.
What kind of stories?
A story of recovery. Here's the way I was.
Any kind of recovery.
Here's the way I was. Here's what happened. And here's the way I am now. It's just that simple. Here's the way I was. Here's what happened. And
here I
am now.
I sent you a couple. Did you get them?
You sure did. Yeah, thank you. But anyway, we think it's going to be a great book, the biblical insights on each of the 12 steps.
Well, we've got four Bible studies on each step. We describe the step, and then we've got stories.
Did I tell you that I have a copy of the original manuscript of the big book?
Mm-hmm.
And it is so
I think you should explain what the big book is.
The big book is a book. The book of AA, Alcoholics Anonymous, it is their handbook, their guide. You know, it's the book that you read. It's got all these stories in it. But I was just looking through this, and there was a story of a man, a four-page story, and there's a note in there by Bill W., and it says, decided not to have his story included in the book. And so there's these big X's. So when you read the original manuscript, you get an extra story.
Oh, my. That's
so
awesome.
Anyway, he got published, even though he didn't want to get published in the long run. But, we'd love for you to help us. And maybe you can vote for Kay and Mylon. Is it sexuality or is it God? Which one do you
want?
What
a choice.
Yeah. All right.
Sounds so crass, doesn't it?
We're going to take a crass break here for you, 1-800-229-3000 to join us on the program. And as I announced the other day, we have a $100,000 matching gift. If you give $1, it's $2. $1,000 equals $2,000 to this ministry. Please pray and ask if God is asking you to support this ministry. We'll be back right after this.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
We're back. Let's go to our phones. If you want to join us, 1-800-229-3000. And let's go over here and talk with Wanda. Wanda from Hearst, Texas. I used to live there. KWRD is the station. Hello, Wanda from Hearst, Texas. How are you?
Hi. Well, I'm fine.
Well, good. How could we help today? Sure.
Well, I was listening to your program, and I heard you say that you should be friends with ex-wives, you know, because of, your ex-husband.
What?
And his wife, because good for the children. Okay.
No.
The children are grown.
Hold on.
No.
Hold on.
Friendly about the children.
About.
Not be friends with them, but
be on friendly terms when you talk about the children.
Well, but should you?
And then ignore them the rest of the time.
I know. That's what I've been doing, is ignoring. I went to basketball games and, you know, all that with the kids, because I knew there were other people around and it would, you know, kind of protect me. But anyway, should you be friends with your ex-husband and his wife because children want you to come to their to my grandchildren's birthday party?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, should you go and be around them if they did evil to you?
What the evil was done to you?
Well, he cut my face up when I was sleeping.
Ooh.
And then he left.
Did he go to jail for that?
No. No, he hadn't gone to jail.
Did you press charges against him?
No, I tried to get him put in jail because of what he did to our daughter.
What did he do to your daughter?
They said that he couldn't because the daughter would have to take care of it. He would hold her on his lap and get an erection.
Mm.
Yes. She told me when she was a senior in high school.
You reported this?
And I went to the police department, but not right at that time. I was in denial. I was so shocked. You know, I was just in denial.
Well, I got to tell you, it's very strange to hear that a Child Protective Services wouldn't look into something unless the daughter.
Well, the police department. I went to the police department.
Yeah.
And they said no, they couldn't do anything. It would be up to the daughter to
if the daughter is an adult.
Well, there are, for instance, spouse abuse cases, you don't have to file. You know, you say, well, are you going to file charges or not? You don't have to file charges now in most states. When they see abuse, the police will take action, which is what should happen.
Yeah. Well, they'll file a charge.
Yeah, yeah, and they will be the ones that will. And so I got a little problem with that. But what's your question for us then?
Well, other than him doing that, all that stuff, he put me in a mental institution when they found out that I was going to divorce him because I waited for 2.5 years for him to straighten up and he wouldn't do it.
Okay, so your husband really did a lot of bad things for you, and your kids want you to go to a basketball game that he's at or a birthday party that he's at.
In their house. They want me to go to a birthday party in their house, and I just don't feel right about it because I get that same feeling when he put me in that mental institution.
Okay, now, here's my thought. Most of the time, I would be saying to someone, well, come on, you need to buck up here for the kids, and you need to resolve your emotional issues and stuff and go and be an adult and be there. But this is a case where you've he's been abusive to you and your daughter, and it's very, very serious. So I'm going to, I don't know, I wouldn't want to be there.
I think of my grandchildren. I've got three granddaughters.
What is your
do the same thing to?
What do your kids know what he did to you?
My daughter does. She's in denial. She won't even mention it. You ask her, and she just goes into this stare.
Wow.
She just stares. She just doesn't talk. Mm-hmm. She just stares.
Well, then I think you need to have a talk with your kids and say, "This is why I'm not coming if he comes," and we'll maybe have to have two birthday parties.
Yep. I think that could be the answer in this case.
Well, my son already said, but they weren't going to have two. He said, "You just don't have to come."
You can have your own party.
Yeah.
You can have a party for your son.
Grandson,
I mean.
Uh-huh. It's also possible your son is saying, "We're only having one party," and he's giving you an ultimatum, which tells me a little bit about how controlling your son is being.
And he's trying controlling her ex-husband.
Right. They
has
cut
been
me
too.
Out for 3 years. Well, they isolated me.
Well,
my children and grandchildren.
Understood. So what I'm saying is that this pressure that the family's putting on you, it's either continued isolation or do what we tell you to do,
right.
is a very big problem. And I think what Steve and Dave are saying is really important. Respect is earned. It's not just given away. And so for you to earn the respect for yourself, self-respect, and for the rest of the family to respect you, I think you need to be clear. In some occasions, I can go to places, and I can perhaps be in the same room as this person, but I will not go to their house. Your father was hurtful and abusive to me, and I refuse until he apologizes to me to ever do anything like that. But I also learned something about you in something you said a little while ago. You said, "I went to a basketball game, my kids are with me, and they protected me," which tells me how little inside sometimes perhaps you feel, or how victim-like you feel inside, that you feel like you need protection. And what are you doing to build yourself up? Wanda in Hearst, Texas, what is she doing to build herself up into a more mature adult who can withstand the pressures of people? What are you doing for yourself right now?
I pray.
Not enough. What else are you doing?
Not enough.
No, mm-mm. Prayer is not enough. What else are you doing?
Oh, I thought you meant I wasn't praying enough.
No, I'm saying prayer is not enough. But I like that you're praying, but it's not enough. Keep going. What are you doing?
Nothing. I'll just go to church.
Okay. Then you need to be in a group where you go to an assertiveness class, you go to grief class, you go to a class where people learn to give adult voice to themselves, where they learn the victims of this world, the pleasers of this world, learn to go, and they learn to sharpen their skills. Codependency classes.
I was thinking of martial arts class.
A martial arts class.
Quit going to church and start getting involved in church.
Yeah, I'm involved there. I work there once a week, one day a week.
Well, do you go to a women's Bible study?
Yes.
I want
is there honesty at that women's Bible study, or do people just sit and listen? And there's room for listening.
Right.
But there's also room where I have to learn to be assertive and develop an adult voice and speak and think what it is I believe and learn to believe in myself. Yeah. And if we didn't become an adult by the time we're 18, 20, or 25, we can still do it at 30, 35, 40, and 50, and 60.
Correct.
I'm 72.
Okay, well, I'm only 10 years behind you, Wanda, so we're all still trying to grow up.
Well, I feel grown up. I've been through all this. Well, and I've raised three children, and I've
you feel grown up on
43 years.
All right.
You feel grown up on the inside?
Yeah, that's a good question, Dave.
Do what?
Do you feel grown up on the inside?
I feel sad.
Yes.
Okay.
Hmm. Yeah, we're sorry for that
little girl.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, it's hard to take that.
Sure it is. And you need a safe person where you can cry even deeper than you are now, and help. They will help you get through this time. Otherwise, you just stay a little girl who's just brokenhearted the rest of her life. And you don't have to do that.
And needing protection.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I will.
All right. Well, I'm glad you called.
Well, thank you for taking my call.
And I hope something we've said has helped you here. I'm going to send you Healing as a Choice, and I hope that will be a blessing to you.
Okay.
Hey, big hug from us.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
you know, there are some calls that you just, oh, wish we could do more for a person. Mm. What a horrible situation. Cut up her face.
Sure.
Mm. Mm.
You know, I think victims think that by staying under the radar, by giving people time to change, and by not ever resisting and by not pushing back or setting boundaries, victims often set themselves up for further abuse because that passivity breeds contempt in controlling angry people. And the only way to gain respect is by, you know, demanding it. Yeah. And so the way we do that is by setting boundaries and by finding groups that strengthen us so we're able to do that. Yeah. But if we were to trace Wanda's history back, she was undoubtedly, I bet she didn't marry somebody a whole lot different than her family of origin.
Yeah, right. All right. 1-800-229-3000 if you'd like to join us on the air here. We would love for you to. Before we go to our next caller, we want to be here for people in the situation like Wanda is in, and the only way we can is for you to support us. And here we have a letter from a person who is willing to match every dollar you give up to $100,000. If you will give, we can bring in $200,000 into this ministry, and what a blessing that absolutely would be. So would you call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE and say, okay, I want to be part of this. Marvin from Dallas, Texas. KWRD is the station. Hello, Marvin.
Hello.
How are you today? How could we help you?
My question is, I've done pretty much everything you could do that the Lord didn't want you to do in my life. I'm 50 years old and been married a couple of times. And past couple of years, I just had something came over me, like a realization that what I have been doing and been going on wasn't right. I grieved the Holy Spirit, and I've been searching God's Word, trying to
what were you doing?
Find some answers.
What were you involved with that was so bad?
At the time?
Yeah.
It was adultery.
Okay. And has your wife left you, or you left your wife? Or?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it ended the marriage, and I got remarried. And I've been trying to talk with people and ask them, you know, about, I guess what it is, my statement is, I feel like that I've pushed God too far and that I've ignored him long enough. And I just have a feeling inside. I just wonder if I'll ever get to be with Jesus.
Yeah.
And I want that.
Now, did you murder the husband of the lady you had the affair with?
No.
Okay. Because in Scripture, David not only committed adultery, but he killed the guy she was married to. And he didn't go too far to go beyond God's grace.
I just ignored God for so long. I even sat in a church pew, you know.
But did you hear what I said?
Praise the Lord. Did you?
Yeah, but did you hear what I said?
Yes.
I've got Scripture where somebody else did something worse.
Worse than you.
Now, did you prostitute your wife before you committed adultery against her?
No.
Well, Abraham twice prostituted his wife. Can you believe that? How much worse can you? To save himself, he prostituted his wife two times.
I guess what I'm saying, until recently, I just didn't have a sense of what I had really done.
Mm-hmm. Okay, what am I saying?
And it's hit me. I mean, ever since I was a kid, I'm remembering things that I should have never done.
Marvin, what am I saying?
You're saying that the Lord's willing to take me back in.
Absolutely. And he has a plan for you.
As long as you have breath, it's never too late.
I just wish I could have had somebody tell me that. I've asked lots of people, and they just wouldn't answer the question directly.
So you need to grieve the fact that you didn't have relationships that would help keep you out of trouble or protect you or something like that. And now you find yourself in reality, and you're waking up to reality. The question is, are you going to feel sorry for yourself? Are you going to reach out and get some help from somebody? or are you going to let all of this turn into anger and rage and self-hatred? There are a lot of options that you have here, some choices that you have to make.
Marvin, did you ever have a mom or a dad that you felt got pushed too far and left you?
Anybody
significant?
Actually, my parents remarried and divorced each other 4 times.
Okay, so at those times, did you feel left? Did you ever feel left by anybody?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so what's important is that you don't project onto God what human beings do.
I just keep telling God I'm sorry.
I know.
I can't tell him I'm sorry. I'm not enough.
Don't make God human.
I've never heard it put that away.
Yeah. Don't make him just like other people, because he's not. You can't push God too far.
We'll take a break and come back with more of New Lifeline.
I wish I was who you think I am. The one you thought you married. The ideal husband, the amazing dad, the great lover. But my mind is filled with darkness, with images that I can't erase. I want so desperately to be the man you dreamed of, the man I know I can be. I am terrified to talk to you about this, but I want to. I need to. I want us to be close just as badly as you do. Can I talk to you? Can we be totally honest and know that we love each other enough to be open?
At New Life, we've helped thousands of men just like this find hope, healing, and a plan to move forward with their lives through our one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive Weekend. Call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I need help. I want help. I can't do this on my own.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
I feel like I'm a person for the first time in my life. I feel like I wasn't whole before, or that I couldn't enjoy life. I had such a big weight on my shoulders that I had nothing to look forward to. I'm such a better wife, and I'm a better daughter, friend, a better worker. I feel absolutely free.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
If anybody is considering Christian counseling, then they need to do it. They need to take that step.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We'd love to hear from you if you have a question or comment. Call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here, and we're talking with Marvin, and Marvin is one of these folks that feel like he's outsinned God's grace. I've been there. I'm going to send you the God of Second Chances. I think that's going to help you. Any other words of encouragement that we have for Marvin other than you've got to get connected to some other men and you've got to get into a restoration process, or you're just going to be struggling on your own?
Find a good Christian recovery meeting, because that's where you'll find people who accept you and will demonstrate grace.
Mm-hmm. And I think Marvin needs to understand there's two basically different kinds of churches. There's a group of churches out there that believe that you can lose your salvation, yeah, that you can sin, and you can fall out of God's grace. I think Ephesians says the opposite. It says, once you are transferred from the domain of darkness to the domain of light, and you're co-seated at the right hand of God the Father, that you belong to God, the Holy Spirit has been given to you, you're sealed and marked out as God's possession. The Holy Spirit is a down payment of your eternal inheritance. Yeah. And if I have that salvation, I have that salvation.
Yeah,
I can behave. I can, just like a child, I can misbehave. But it doesn't make me all of a sudden stop being the child of God. Mm-hmm. And I think it's important to understand our eternal security as a part of my biblical backdrop to my framework for my life, my biblical worldview, because it provides a security at the moments where I'm not a secure person.
Yeah.
But even those churches that believe you can lose your salvation believe it can be regained.
Mm-hmm.
That you never reach a point, you know. And I think what Marvin's kind of stuck on is that grieving the Holy Spirit, you know, that's the unforgivable sin. And I don't think you can commit the unforgivable sin today. I don't think that's possible. That was only possible when Jesus was here walking.
I agree with you.
Yeah. And so he needs to understand that.
Would you explain that? Because I think there are people listening who might wonder what on earth you're talking about.
Right. Well, the unforgivable sin is to attribute to Jesus that he's operating as the devil. And the Pharisees did that a couple of times. And
that his miraculous powers
came
were
from
attributable
the devil.
To the devil. Right.
And so it's saying that Jesus is the devil, basically. And it's if you choose to say that, you can't say that today because he's not literally walking on earth. So it was talking about the acts that he did and saying that those come from the devil. So you don't have to worry about that anymore. And then I've always said to anybody, if you're worried about committing the unforgivable sin, that's proof you haven't. Because if you really did, you wouldn't worry about it. You know, it would be.
And the unforgivable sin, in a way, is that you don't accept Christ
as
your Savior.
Right.
That's the only way you can do it now.
So accept Christ, acknowledge him as your Savior, and go live your life. Do what Jesus says. Go and sin no more.
And Marvin needs to get, I mean, it's almost like he's continuing to sin by ruminating and all of that. And he needs to get out of the muck and enter into the grace of God and the love of God and celebrate.
Marvin, how long have you been feeling like you've just sinned too much, you've gone too far?
You still there, Marvin? Oh, he left.
That's okay.
He was so moved.
That he moved.
By what we were saying, that he just moved on.
But here's an illustration where you said, Steve, something really important a moment ago, too. You said he needs to be in the presence of other men and hang out with other people. Moms and dads are one of the primary roles is to help soothe the child's flailing emotions as they are 0 to 6 years old.
Yeah.
And if a parent has done a good enough job of helping the child deal with their emotions and soothe and regulate the child's able to step out into the world and regulate themselves and self-soothe. And so what happens is if he never experienced that, then there's nobody to settle little Marvin down inside. There's nobody to help soothe and settle this place inside of him that goes, oh, my gosh, I'm emotionally flailing. I'm scared. I'm panicky. I'm feeling like I pushed God too far. And I think we all can understand that, especially if we had tumultuous childhoods.
Yep. Mm-hmm. All right. I'm glad you called. And if we get your address and phone number and all of that, I'm going to send you How We Love. And maybe there'll be something in there that will see why you and how you attach in different ways. Let's go to Marie from Salem, Virginia. She watches our program on the NRB Network. Hello, Marie. Welcome to New Life.
Hi, Steve.
How you doing?
I'm fine.
How could we help you today?
I'm doing fine. I'm having some problems, and I'm hoping you can help me to figure out how to get beyond this.
That's what we're here for.
I'm dealing with the effects of having an abusive, emotionally, verbally abusive childhood from a very, very critical father. And now I'm finding myself getting very hurt by things that my husband says.
Mm-hmm.
Taking those things, if they're at all critical, I'm taking it as being critical, which is not really meaning it that way.
All right. And what have you done to resolve all of the issues that you had with Dad?
Oh, well, I've gone to counseling before. Those things came up. I feel like for the most part I'm doing very well with it. My father's now passed on, and I'm very thankful he became a Christian before he did. And I never got a chance to really talk with him at length about anything like this to clear it up, but I have forgiven him in my heart. But I just feel that I have that pain inside that when things are said to me like, oh, you should have done this, not that, I just take it as another critical thing from my dad.
I bet you have a high shame factor. The shame kicks in really strongly, doesn't it?
And maybe it's shame. Maybe it's just feeling I was so abused that I still feel that again.
All right, we'll have some answers when we come back.
You're listening to New Life Live, 1-800-229-3000.
Hi, everybody. Max Locato here. You know, I've been a pastor for over 25 years, and in the process, I've been fortunate to cross paths a few times with Steve Arterburn and his team at New Life. And I can tell you for a fact that these are good people doing real ministry work where the rubber meets the road. One of the ways they help people is through their New Life Weekend. The Apostle Paul writes about finding the transformation that comes from the renewing of your mind. That's what these folks at New Life specialize in. Whether you struggle with anger, unforgiveness, depression, grief, boundaries issues, maybe you've never worked through the pain of a past abortion. Maybe you need a marriage tune-up. Maybe your marriage is in crisis. Listen, these good people can help you. Call them today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 and ask about the New Life Weekend.
I just absolutely believe in the mission of New Life, and I feel that the materials provided and the biblical counseling perspective is so valuable and not available in so many places. And New Life and membership in Club New Life provides access to the live program and also CDs available to listen to. So I know it's easy to turn on the radio and receive the benefit, but those services don't come without expense. And I would sure like to see the program remain on. So I would like to challenge listeners who listen and receive benefit but haven't yet given to actually give this year and continue the giving, of course, because more people need to hear.
Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE and ask how you can start your Club New Life membership today. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to the program.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here with Milan Yurkovich. He's the author of How We Love, and Dr. Dave Stoop is the author of Forgiving the Unforgivable and many, many other books, including the editor of the Life Recovery Bible, which we would love for you to have as our gift to you for supporting this ministry through Club New Life or a gift of $50 or more that goes toward a matching gift of $100,000. These things don't come along very often, but you have the opportunity to give $2 for every one that you give. We're talking with Marie right now. She watches on the NRB network, and the childhood wounds are affecting her. And one thing that she said, Milan and Dave, that bothered me is that she said, I did counseling. And, you know, it's like if you got treated for head lice, here we go, and 2 years later...
That's a fun thought.
And 2 years later, you have head lice again. You'd never say, well, I was treated for head lice, or I got help for head lice 2 years ago. Marie, you need to be in that counseling situation now. No matter what you did before, now is the time to really probably make some breakthroughs and gain some really solid ground in the counseling process. Milan?
Well, I think there's two phases, Marie, to your healing journey. Phase one is I came to terms with my dad. I went to counseling. I processed a lot of the losses from my childhood. He subsequently passed away. But you know what? People can pass away, but the tape still plays in our brain. It's like we push the play button, and that criticism, the shame, the abuse kicks back in. Phase two would be for you to go to marriage counseling with your husband, because what's happening is your body grew up, and inside, in this particular part of you, feels little when somebody critiques you or says something that they disagree with, has an opinion about what you've done. And it's hard for you not to, in your mind, immediately go back to that old familiar place of the abusive dad. So what I do with couples in my office is I bring them in and I have them learn to have adult conversations with each other. And adult reality is people will disagree with me. And my personal growth is learning to tolerate that and not go to an all bad place, which is where you're at. You go to an all bad place. So your experience is very common. You're not alone. We write about this in our book, How We Love, and it's a place of sensitivity that can heal, and I recommend that you do your best to do it in the realm of marriage counseling.
Yeah, I think it's important that your husband understand the wound that you had and the sensitivity that's still there.
Right.
I mean, criticism is always a hurtful behavior and you get to decide whether it's criticism or not, not the person that's saying it. So if it feels like criticism, it is criticism. And your husband needs to be aware of that, and that's where marital counseling could help that. But the other thing is, you know, there's a behavior you can do when you are feeling criticized. You know, if your husband is saying something that feels that way, just simply, instead of getting hurt or withdrawing or, you know, fighting back, just say, what do you need me to do right now? Because often criticism is a veiled request. You know, it's kind of a
good
hidden
point.
Request.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, yeah.
So simply say, you know, what do you need me to do right now? And that breaks the cycle, and it breaks the cycle inside as well.
All right. I hope that's helpful.
Which is to be an adult.
Yeah.
As opposed to slinking away in some sort of a shameful place and the bad child.
Yeah.
Nice.
What would you guys like to send her that would be helpful to her?
I think Dave's book on dads and forgiveness would be a very good book for her.
Forgiving our parents, forgiving ourselves, because there may be some things that are left over with your dad, and that book will help you do it.
We'll get that off to you. I'm so glad you called. Let this be the beginning of the journey. Let this difficulty with the husband be the, you know, the
catalyst to take you to a new level.
Right. Be the warning light on your dashboard that says, hey, I got to take this in. I got to take myself in and get some work done.
And right, it's here. Important to pay attention to dashboard lights, isn't it?
It really is. It's a lot of people, they're looking down at the floorboard and they're not seeing what the dashboard light is.
Well, I had one that was on, and the guy, the mechanic, says, well, it's this and you don't really need that, so if you can ignore the light, don't worry about it. And so I ignored the light for about 5,000 miles, and then I took it in for service, and I said, why don't you just fix that? Boy, a car drives better. So I think it was more than what he said it was.
One of my insights into Misty, because she's such a her IQ is off the charts, but when we were dating, the light on her dash was going off, and I said, hey, that says maintenance required over there. She goes, I know, I got to take this in and get that light fixed. I can't believe it. I said, well, maybe it's not the light. Okay, so a few days later, she's driving down the freeway, and boom, smoke everywhere, the engine locked. She was totally out of oil, And so she had to buy a new engine for $2,600 to put in that Taurus. But it was so unlike her because she's so, you know, logical. Okay, light, must be something wrong, take this thing in.
Just a broken light.
Anyway, the light.
I felt so brilliant then. That was then. All right, let's go over here to talking with Nora from Fort Worth, Texas. Hi, Nora.
Hi.
KWRD is the station. How you doing?
Good. How are you guys doing?
Good. How could we help you today?
Well, I guess I'll start with my question. My question is, how can I make my blended family work? We're going through a series of issues right now, and it's pretty stressful. It's putting a lot of stress on the relationship.
Okay. Tell us. Explain.
Family environment.
Okay. Tell us about your blended family. Who brought who into the blender?
Okay. Bill and I we're not legally married, but we are committed as if we were. We've been together for years. For the last 3 years, his children were the only ones living with us, two girls.
Two girls,
how
old?
In the last 9 months, my girls are now living with us, so now it's four.
Two girls and two girls, how old are they?
Ranges from 10 to 6.
Ruh-roh.
10, 8, 7, and 6.
10, 8, 7, and 6. Okay, so try to sum up in a sentence the problem.
The problem is...
What's the problem?
Nobody gets along. My oldest, especially, is very angry and upset over the situation. She thought that when she would come live with me, it would be just us three, I guess. That he would go away somehow with his kids.
Yeah.
And it's been a hard struggle for her, especially because my ex-husband, their father, live, you know, we live in the same city.
Mm-hmm.
So, and she has, they have a relationship with him. He sees them, you know, how it's mandated by court, et cetera. They have a good relationship. I have a good relationship with him as well, and a cordial one. And so basically, I guess in her mind, she feels like we could possibly be together again, and he could go away, Bill could go away, his kids, and
mm-hmm. Why aren't
family.
You, why are you two not married?
Kind of complicated. In a nutshell, I'm not very proud of my past. I did a lot of bad choices, which is why I ended up without my kids. I had a short marriage between my their father and
why
Bill.
Did you
I had
why
a
did
short
you,
marriage
okay.
with a very very bad guy.
Okay, why did
Never
you end up?
Divorced.
Why did you end up with your not having your kids? What happened that they took your kids away?
I ended up. I guess I had a domestic issue with that person, that husband, and lost my job. And at that time, I guess I was doing drugs too.
What's a domestic issue? I'm just asking you to
well,
be specific.
Well, we got into a huge argument, and I tried to choke him.
Okay, tried
and
to choke.
I went into jail, lost my job, and everything just domino effect. I lost my job, my apartment, our car, my car. Ended up in legal matters. I lost everything.
So you
and
found
my
a
kids.
Okay. You found a guy then that you could live with. Is that what happened?
Yes, he helped me a lot to be uh-huh. who I am today.
Okay. All right.
Bill's been when he found me, which is in the last, like I said, last 3 years. I've really given my life to Jesus Christ. Okay.
Now, why when giving your life to Jesus, why didn't you marry this guy?
Because I'm legally, I didn't have the money at the time. I was legally still married to a loser guy.
Uh-huh.
So it's until
so
now
she's
that
still married to number two.
So why don't you get that taken care of?
I am. I'm in the process of it.
Okay.
I have a court date where it's going to finally go through my divorce
because
decree.
Because if you're not married, then your 10-year-old or whatever, 8, is going to feel like maybe there is some hope we can get this guy out of the house.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah.
And I've been told in church, the Bible says it, you know, you need to be married, mm-hmm. which is why I'm working on that. I mean, I'm
okay, but that,
probably by this summer I would, it's done, mm-hmm. you know, but.
Well, wouldn't it be great, though, if somehow you guys could, since you're not married, not live in the same house until you are? Wouldn't that say something to the kids?
Yes, it would.
Boy, Mom is, she is really committed to the Lord, and I know this guy gives her safety, but man, she's showing us something here that I haven't seen before.
Huh?
And then you could get really close to your kids for a while, and then decide if getting back together would be the right thing. I'll hear from Dave and Milan on this episode.
Hi everybody, Max Licato here. As a pastor, I've seen how important it is for people to come and get good Christian counsel. People make decisions that turn out to be the wrong decision. I heard Steve Arterburn say on New Life not too long ago that the same thinking that got you into your mess isn't going to get you out of it. If you find yourself in a spot and you don't know what the next right thing to do is, then won't you call the good people at New Life? They have a network of Christian counselors around the country that's more than 850 strong. Call today 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. And tell them you need to find someone to help you. They're likely to have a counselor in your area to help you with whatever you're struggling with. It will be good, godly counsel. Call today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 639-5433.
I counsel people every single day. I help marriages. I help broken people find healing. I teach the good news of a Savior that loves us. But why can't I accept it myself and break free from this bondage? I can't stop looking at pictures that I shouldn't be looking at, and fantasizing and lusting, and now I've taken it a step further and gone to a strip club. I have to stop. I want to stop.
At New Life, we've helped thousands of men just like this find hope,
healing, and a plan to move forward with their lives through our one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive Weekend. Call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I need help, and I can't do this on my own. I want to be the pastor that God wants me to be.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
We're back. Well,
you know, Steve, I was just saying, I don't think you could have done a better job on that call. I think you probably represent all of what we're all thinking here, and I don't know that I or Dave have anything to say more about that. I think
so. Just to sum up, the best thing in the world would be to move out and do the right thing and get with those kids and raise those kids a little bit and get reconnected. They've been jerked around, yanked around. It's a horrible situation. They need some sanity in their life.
And I think the concept of a blended family is a misnomer anything. Anyhow, it's a very nice way to think about.
What family wants to be put in a blender and just kind of.
Yeah, where does the banana start and the strawberry end? You
think
know,
of it as an integrating. How do we integrate these kids together?
Strawberry. I like that.
You can't tell after a while, you see, and that's what you'd like. But the reality is a step family or a family with step relationships is always going to be a battle. You pointed out the kids are angry. They've been separated from parents. They've been torn, ripped. They've been
The Brady Bunch was a myth.
Yeah.
Well, but I think in my case, we've had an exception. But, and there are a couple of reasons.
But you've worked at it, sir.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Misty had a great relationship with her children before I ever met her. And she was so connected and bonded with them. I was very connected with Madeline. Now, you know, Madeline, of course, was a little older, now gone off to college. But I think there were two things that happened there. One was we both had the right connection with our kids. And secondly, neither of us moved in on the other kids to demand respect from them.
That's the big one right there.
It had to be earned. We knew that, and we didn't come in saying, you will respect me or you will do this. Just now am I starting to parent the boys by saying, you really need to do this or just, you know. But up until now, I've
well, and you also worked with the kids, and you planned the time that you would come together, and you had a formal wedding, and you talked to the kids.
Right.
You asked Madeline, how are you going to feel about this? You asked her opinion to what she would feel if you got married.
Yeah.
So there's an inclusion of the child's feelings and emotions into the next step.
Yep.
Now, having done all the great things, there were still adjustments, weren't there?
There were adjustments, always, and there was frustration on everybody's part from time to time. But we talked through it. We worked through it. Terry from Columbus, Ohio, listening on XM. I don't have a lot of time, but I did want to get to your call. How could we help you today?
Well, you guys are so great, and I'll try to be brief. But I called probably a couple months ago. I'm the lady that lives next door to my mom, who's schizophrenic, and she's never been to my house in 6 years. You gave me great peace, told me to redirect my pity and to, you know, take away some of my investment, but still love her and care.
Mm-hmm.
Not allow it to eat me alive. My sister seems to be going the same direction as my mom, and I find myself trying to protect her children, who are in their 20s, early 20s. We had a big fiasco at my niece's wedding Saturday. Her mom gets angry and is very controlling, and if she can't control, we have a nuclear event. And I just wonder, you know, I find myself walling my sister off and not being in her life because she's a blend of the most wonderful person in the world and then, you know, an angry, bitter, hurtful person.
Okay. What's the question for us then?
Do you, you know, is it good to intervene? Is it useful to intervene when somebody probably has a emotional problem that they're not going to be, you can't reason with them, but is it still worthwhile to, you know, to step in and say, you know, to offer support to the other members of the family, or is that just interfering?
No, I think that offering support to those kids is important. I mean, who else do they, who can they go to?
you know, their parents are not saved. I'm a believer. The kids are saved, so we have that bond. And I, you know, they're in my heart. I love them as if they were my own.
And I think, Terry, that you become a sounding board for them. You let them initiate. You let them know that you're available, that you care. Let them come to you. You check in with them periodically to see how they're doing. That's family, and I think that's important. But you can't change anything in the parent deal, so you work with what you can work with, and keeping those kids centered is going to be a key issue for you, I think.
Now, with all those volatile people around you, a mom, a sister, and now another person in the family, instead of you going out being the lifeguard and trying to go out and caretake everybody, simply be a safe harbor and leave your home. Idea. Leave your home as a place where people can come, where they can process, where they can find rest and relief, and don't try and overextend yourself.
All right. Really glad that you called us there. What would be a great resource for her, you guys? Can you think of one that we could send off?
Safe people.
Safe people
is
great.
Is an idea.
Coming
of
your way.
What is a safe person?
All right. Let me tell you about a couple of things. First of all, we have counselors that are Christian counselors all over the country. If you need a counselor, please call us or go to newlife.com. Secondly, we have a weekend coming up. It's in Philadelphia. It's the Healing is a Choice New Life Weekend. And if you have been struggling in some area of your life and you come, you will experience freedom. You'll experience a lot of other things too. But it really is an amazing experience for so many people. So many folks have said it has transformed their lives. And then also we have Lose It for Life coming up in November. And in September, Sherry Denham is doing Women in the Battle. If you've been affected by pornography in some way, some relationship, can really, really help you. Now, summer is always a tough time. And, oh, by the way, let me just mention, if you're holding, stay on the line because we're going to do another program right after this. So don't go away. We'll get to your call right after this, please. Mylon reminded me of that, and I appreciate it. But now I want to remind you that we always have a tough time in summer. And in response to that tough time, a couple stepped up and said, whatever you bring in, if people will say, I want to match this gift, we'll give you up to $100,000. We'll match every dollar up to $100,000. That would give us $200,000 here at the beginning of July, which would make literally all the difference in the world. So I'm asking you to respond to this wonderful couple's gift, their generosity, and go for two. You give one, you'll be giving two. $100 becomes $200. $1,000 becomes $2,000. Please respond to this. Help us respond to this amazing gift of generosity, and because we don't get this very often. In fact, I can only think of one other time something like this happened for us at this amount. This is amazing. So pray, ask God, is this the ministry that I should support? You know, very, very, very few times will you just stop and say, should I be giving my money somewhere? But maybe this is one of those times where you stop and you say, okay, they're doing what they're doing. They're helping people. I want to help them help people. And now I can help them doubly as much with that matching gift. So please call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE and say, I want to be part of Club New Life. Send you a Bible, Every Man's Bible or a Life Recovery Bible. I want to be part of Club New Life. And that's $30 a month. Or if you give a gift of $50 or more, I'll send you a Bible, Life Recovery or Every Man's Bible. That's our way of saying thanks for helping us match this gift. We don't have much time to match it. So please call us. You can see that, yes, I am pleading for funds because I know the kind of work that gets done here. I see the transformations. We're not here to help people feel good about themselves. We're here so that people make the changes and live through the goodness of Jesus Christ and live out that good life that's been planned for them all along before the beginning of time. Thank you for joining us. Thank you, Mylon Yurkovich and Dr. Dave Stoop. See you next time here on New Life Live.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. to make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1018, Laguna Beach, California, 92652. Please join us on Monday for New Life Live.